Good morning. Welcome. I am delighted to be here. My name is Andrew, for those of you that haven't met me before, along with my wife Jasmine. We are the youth pastors here at Falkirk Vineyard Church. And it's an absolute privilege to not only speak this morning, but also to kick us off in a new series. We're starting today a six-week series which looks at different confidences that are fundamental building blocks in our faith, that remind us that our hope, our security, our confidence are all found in God. And I think that is absolutely a reminder that I need. And we need this reminder to consider where we seek our security. So I'm absolutely delighted to be kicking things off this morning. So I guess the first place to kind of look at things is where might we place our confidence? It's so easy to place our confidence or reliance in different places. Some of them are good on the face of it, and some of them are unhealthy, and some of them are perhaps beyond that. But I guess what I'm kind of considering here is have you considered where you place your confidence? Where do you rely on? Because ultimately, even if we place our confidence in good things or in unhelpful things, no matter how good they are, ultimately they'll all fall short. We will find ourselves not being fulfilled by those things. We need to place our confidence in God. If we look at, kicking us off here, look at Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 6. It says this. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight." You see, it's so easy to read verses like that, which is full of truth, and absolutely is, should give us confidence in the direction that God is going to send us on as his promise. But I guess for us, it's really easy to say it, but very much harder to do it. It's one thing to say it, but another thing completely to experience it. So as we get into this and we start to consider these different confidences, and for this morning in particular, we look at what it means to be confident in the Word, I'd ask you to examine your own heart. Consider and seek to understand, where do you place your trust and where do you place your confidence? Because ultimately, it's foundational to absolutely everything that we believe. In Jeremiah 17:7, it says this, "But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and their confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit." I mean, wow. When I sat and read that in preparation for today and I reflected on the question, does that describe me? It's powerful. Now the image here, let's split it up into a couple of bits. So we've got the tree and we've got where the tree is. So if we first consider that it talks about if we are, we need to be deep rooted. There's no use having just shallow roots, because ultimately we would be moved by the different weather conditions that are described there, the drought or the heat. So it's important for us that we are deep rooted into the Word of God, into the knowledge of who God is. And by doing that, we won't be moved in either the good times or the bad. We are strong structures through God. And then you could have those deep roots, but if those deep roots are in the wrong places, you still have the same problem. Whereas the second part here is very much looking at, if you place your roots deep into the water, the analogy here being God, if we place our confidence into that living water that God provides us, that's when the result turns to green leaves and constant fruit. So I guess what my overarching question here is does that describe you? As we start on this 6-week journey, I want it just to consider and reflect on this each week as we look at these different confidences and examine yourself. Does it describe me? And particularly now, in times that feel so uncertain and perhaps feel really unusual or different to anything you've ever experienced, there's no more important a time to be rooted in what God is doing. It's important to be rooted in God's word in the good and the bad times. In the good times, it's so that we can recognise the blessing that God is bringing us in that moment and what God is doing in it. And in the bad times, it's there to support us, to allow us not to be moved or swayed, to hold fast and stay confident in what God is doing through God's plan. So, where do you place your confidence? I'm going to pray for us before we move on into looking at this. So, Father God, I just want to thank you for the opportunity we have this morning, Father, to come to you, to ask the questions of our own heart. What are you doing in our lives, Father, and where are we placing our confidence? I just pray, Holy Spirit, in each of our homes where we are now, God, will you allow us to examine our hearts? Will you point to the things, Father, that are not of you? And I pray, God, that you will speak to all of us where we are now. So I pray, come, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so it wouldn't be a sermon series if we didn't start off with a dictionary definition. So let's have a look at a dictionary definition of confidence. It says this: it is a feeling of trust in a person or a thing, or it's otherwise described as a firm belief, a trust, a reliance. You see, this is the fun thing about trusting or having confidence. It's more than just a decision that we make. It needs action to follow. Otherwise, it's just a theoretical decision. By its very nature, we need to act on our confidence in God, even when we don't have the full picture, which is often the case. This week, we're going to look at confidence in the Word. So what do we mean when we say the Word? The context of the Word, it can mean many different things. Your mind may have automatically jumped to confidence in God's Word, i.e. the Bible, the written text. You're not wrong. God's word is revealed in the Bible, but it's more than just printed words. Those words are breathed by the Holy Spirit. They reveal God's promises, his bond, something we'll come to later, and his plans. They reveal who God is. And so today we're going to try and unpack a couple of different ways that we can consider the word of God and how it can provide you and I confidence that we need in our lives. So let's look at John chapter 1. So John chapter 1 says this: in the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was God, and the Word was with God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and it brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot extinguish it. Ultimately, God's word is revealed to us through Jesus. And this is exactly what John is seeking to clarify here. He's pointing out to everyone that is likely to read it that the word is Jesus. Now, if you didn't get it through the first part, we get to verse 14 and he lays it out. So if you've missed it, you're going to catch it here. And this is what he says in verse 14. So the Word became human and was made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. So John is making the point really, really clearly. So when we consider the audience that he would have been speaking to at the time, the Hebrews, who were a group that would have been reading this or listening to it being read out, would have considered Jesus being God as blasphemous. The Greeks considered that it was unthinkable to describe God as someone who became a human being. So what John's got here is he's got not only one view, but he's got many views of who Jesus might be or might not be, and also the capacity to which God could reveal himself to us on earth. And so what John is seeking to do here, really bluntly, is clarify exactly who it is. That he's not only Jesus, but God was also Jesus there right at the beginning. He is one with God. Now, to say that Jesus is the Word in the flesh means that he is the full revelation of God in a form that we can see and we can understand. So this includes God's wisdom, plans, purposes, and the promises that have been made. Jesus is God come to earth to teach us and to show us how to live. He came to die so that we might live. So John's like really hammering it home here, exactly who the Word is. And as we'll come to look on a little bit later, there's a lot of references to the Word being used earlier in the Bible, text that these people would have been familiar with. Now, we've also got to be clear here that the Jesus coming and what John's getting at here is it was also a fulfillment of the plans and the promises that fill the pages of the Bible, all the way back to the very beginning. Jesus doesn't just turn up in the New Testament. He's present from chapter 1, and the whole of the New Testament points towards him. Some of you might have recently attended our Torah Bible study, which Kenny was running on a Thursday evening. And in that, we explored different things. If you're not familiar with the Torah, go and ask Kenny. He's got lots of information on it. But we explored the rebellion of Adam and Eve right at the beginning of the story, when they believed the serpent's lies over God's word. So God had told them how it was to be, and they believed the serpent's lies over God's word. And in response, God promises that one of Eve's descendants will crush the serpent's head, and the same moment the serpent will strike his heel. You see, this is a promise, or he's giving his word, a bond, that Jesus will redeem mankind, and it happens right back at the beginning. Man had rejected God and his way through choosing sin, but even when God spoke, he revealed his plan to rescue mankind. You see, God has provided his word as a promise to restore and rescue mankind from its fallen state. This is one of the many ways that Jesus is the Word made flesh. He came as God's fulfillment of this promise to us. It's something that he's done all the way and many times throughout history. The Old Testament is full of it pointing towards Jesus. Now, it is also relevant just to consider here the context at the time that this would have been written. So when we consider this concept of a bond, for you and I, if you're buying a house or you're buy a car or something like that, then you're likely to have some contracts to sign. It's an agreement between you and the other person to buy or to sell. It is a contract. It is a bond. Now, in the times, we would not have had, there would have been no bond. So there's no contracts, there's no solicitors. You know, that really what we're getting at here is that the word was your bond. So if you gave someone your word, then that was it. It was an unbreakable promise. And if you did break it, then there were consequences to follow. So rather than having these long detailed contracts, it was, my word is my bond. And you see, that's exactly what we're getting at here, is God made promises that are his bond to us. We are, God created us to enjoy him, to be in relationship with him. We broke our promise to him through sin. But God has never broken his promises to us. He continues to remind us of his promises through our mistakes. The Bible gives us encouragement in here and now that when we mess up, God's promises still hold fast. God's word is his bond. And this goes back to this expression, I mean, you probably heard it, you might have even said it, I give you my word. You wholeheartedly promise to fulfill your obligation under your spoken word. And that is exactly what God has done throughout history and continues to do. This is a key part of the Word of God. It not only reveals who he is and extends to God creating a bond with mankind. Jesus brought about the fulfillment of not only the word that God had promised, but also delivered the salvation to the fallen world. Now we're looking at the subject here of confidence and explore the question of us having confidence in the word. What better example to have confidence in the spoken word and the promises of God than in choosing to send his own son to earth to die in our place and rise again? We have examples in his teachings through Jesus to show us how to live and show us how to love others. And that's all through that saving promise that God intended for all of us, that salvation. So let's have a look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. It says this: "For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than a two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires." Now, when we consider the written word of God, it's not simply a collection of words or a vehicle for communicating ideas. It's living. It's life-changing. It's dynamic as it works in us. I like this analogy with the precision of a surgeon's knife. God reveals who we are and also what we're not. It gets past everything and gets right to our centre, which is both exciting, but perhaps a little bit nerve-wracking. You see, God knows you. God knows all of us, even better than perhaps we know ourselves. He understands our innermost thoughts and our desires. I mean, after all, he did create you. He created all of us. See, God created mankind by his word. He spoke and we were created. From the very beginning, it's linked about how God designed us to what God says about us. In Genesis, it says that we are created in the likeness of God. Our whole being is designed to reflect God's character. And we were to do that in community with him. We have this inbuilt need to have a relationship with our Creator, whether you want to admit it or not. Like perhaps when we were kids, or your kids, or perhaps you're a parent and you look at your kids and you think, you're just like your mum, or you're just like your dad, or you're just like your family that you were around growing up. Whether you want to or not, it happens. We share characteristics of those that we are around when we're young, in particular our parents. And whilst not all of those things are exactly as we'd like them to be through our earthly parents, with God, the same thing cannot be said. He is both perfect and the most secure place to put our hope and our focus. The word brings about life. It is an integral part of our walk through life. It shows us and it reveals us to who we are, and not only that, but who we are created to be. Have you considered the question ever, perhaps, why am I here? What am I made for? God provides all of those answers to you through his words and his promises. One person I am fascinated by, and we covered a bit of this in the Torah Bible study that I mentioned earlier on, it's a chap in the Old Testament called Abraham, previously known as Abram. If you want to get into that, again, you can go and ask Kenny. He had God's word. So he had promises made to him that going on through his life, he didn't have the written text, so he didn't have the Bible like you and I have. He only had the words spoken and the promises he heard from God. If we look at Genesis 15:5, it says this, and it's God and Abraham together. It says, "He took him outside and said, 'Look up to the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them.' Then he said to him, you shall have your offspring. And he's getting at here that the stars, as many of those stars, will be Abraham's offspring. God made him a promise. Now the thing in here is that God made the promise, but Abraham also acted on it. Now he didn't always get it right. So Abraham was like you and I. He lived in a fallen world and therefore was not perfect. But what he did do was he believed. And it says in the following verse, in Genesis 15, verse 6, it says, Abraham believed God and God counted him as righteousness. He believed in the promises of God, despite knowing that he was likely to never see it fulfilled. He accepted that the promise of God was true with or without the evidence of the end result. And that is often the case for us. We have promises made to us by God that we may or may not see the end result. The same can be said for today. God speaks to us through his written word, and he also speaks to us through prayer, through prophetic encouragement of others. God will never tell us anything or give us any words through others that contradict what is written down in his word. So we can be confident that we can check out what we sense God is speaking to us. So do you ask God what is next for you? Are you confident? Do you believe that he will respond? In Joshua 1 verse 8, it says this, keep this book of the law always on your lips, meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. The point of this scripture and the thing that makes Joshua strong and courageous is his meditating on and speaking God's word. Yes, don't be afraid, but the ability will overcome fear. The ability to overcome fear comes from trusting his life in what God has said. Now, at the beginning, I said it's very easy to trust in the word of God, but it's very different to act it out, to live it out. And I'm sure that is the same for all of us. However, God asks us to act. Some of you may have come across the story of Corrie ten Boom. She, if you're not familiar with that, just a quick synopsis. She lived a remarkable life. She wrote a book about her life in the Netherlands in World War II. And her family were responsible for hiding many Jews from the Nazis and were also ultimately sent to a concentration camp. And this is something that she said, which I thought was fascinating. She said, never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. Now, whilst I haven't got time to go in it just now, the level of uncertainty and danger that Corrie ten Boom faced in her life, both at the point of hiding Jews and also then being faced with the concentration camp herself, in all of those, she grounded herself, she rooted herself in God's word, and she held fast and true to the promises that he made, even though she couldn't see how it would work out. She grounded herself in that promises of a known God. She lived out what Jeremiah was saying. She rooted herself deep. And when we look at Psalm 119, verse 105, it says this, the word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. You see, the word of God is more than just words. He wants us to act on them. I love the illustration the psalmist is making here, because the word guides us, it shows us the way to go, but not just so that we can say, cool, there's a good way to go. It's more than that. It's about go. Go and do it. I am a lamp to your feet so that you know where to go. And just kind of bringing this into land, I just want to kind of pick up on one point in that James makes to clarify this. So in his letter, James makes the exact same point. He was the brother of Jesus. He wrote his letter to the scattered people who had fled from persecution, to the church that was scattered. Well, I mean, how applicable to now. And he was writing them to express to them how they should live their lives. And he focuses on their action at the end of chapter 1. And this is what it says. It says, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everything should be quick. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Because the human anger does not produce the righteousness of God's desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is prevalent, and humbly accept the word that is planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word so as to deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Everyone who listens to the word but does not do it is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Because whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they've heard, but doing it, they will be blessed." You see, James makes this a non-negotiable. In our walk with God, we need to act on that word. So in summary, we've seen this morning that God's word, fully revealed in Jesus, it is the full authority in our lives. It is our bond between us and God. It contains the promises that God will not break, but he also calls us to action. The word tells us who God is, who we are, how he loves us and saves us, and how he instructs us and directs us to live our lives. We can have confidence in all of that. In Colossians 3:16, it says, "Let the word of Christ dwell richly, teaching and admonishing one another in wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs of thankfulness in your heart." God wants us to focus on and live in the word of God. And as we've seen many times throughout history, by doing this, we can have confidence to move forward with God's plan in our lives and be sustained in the good times and the bad times. So going back to my original question, does this describe you? I would ask you, are you grounded in the word of God, in the promises that he's made about your life? Are you like a tree with deep roots going down into the water of life provided by God? Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. That is my prayer for me, and that is my prayer for you this morning. That as you self-reflect and focus on where you place your confidence, and in particular your confidence in the word, that God has promises for you that will be revealed to you and through you by focusing on and having confidence in his word. So let me pray for you before we go. Let me just pray. Father God, I just want to thank you for that word this morning, God, that you have spoken. And Father, I just pray that you would speak to each one of our hearts, God. Will you show us your ways, your plans and your purposes, and will you reveal to us what you're doing through your word? I pray, come Holy Spirit, in all of the houses, Father, wherever people are, I pray, God, that your Holy Spirit would fall and that they would experience the tangibleness of your Holy Spirit in their lives. In Jesus' name I pray.